I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and you're listening to Sound Effect on 88.5 KNKX. Our theme this week is Passing the Torch. After World War II, when millions of Jews and other groups were murdered by the Nazis, the world made a promise to never forget. But soon the generation that remembers firsthand, the people who survived, will be gone. So now the torch is being passed to a new generation who will take on the responsibility to keep the survivors' stories alive. Michal Lotzkar lives in Kirkland. She grew up knowing that her father had escaped Poland in 1939, and she knew there was more to the story, but her dad did not give her a lot to go on.
I really got sips along the way. In hindsight now, I think that what was maybe going through their mind, and they couldn't really express it, is that on the one hand, they wanted me to know the history and the legacy of the family. But on the other hand, they wanted to protect me from it. And so nobody really talked about it. A story would come out here and there. And when he would tell me a story, I lapped it up. I craved it. I needed bigger gulps to satisfy. But I was young. I needed an adult to put it together for me.
And your father was young too in the war years, right? I mean, he was a child at the beginning of the war.
5 years old. 5 years old. They were expelled when he was five, and his memories are very childlike.
So, how did this start to change for you? How did your relationship with this story develop as you were an adult?
When my daughter was in the sixth grade, her class went to the Holocaust Center on a field trip. I was a parent chaperone. And the docent that was touring them through was showing them report cards and pictures and passports and, you know, different things from survivors. And so after my daughter's tour, I said to the docent, I said, "Well, my father has a bunch of those." And she said, "Oh, your father is a Holocaust survivor."
And what did you think? Had you heard him called that before?
No. You know, when I thought of Holocaust survivors, you know, I thought of camp survivors, ghetto survivors, Auschwitz survivors. And I said that to her, you know, my father wasn't in a concentration camp. But there's a whole spectrum of what survivors are and what different survivors went through. And absolutely, my father is a survivor. The family was expelled. They had to turn over the keys to their home, their worldly possessions, their bank accounts. They were kicked out.
What did that do to your curiosity? Like, where did you take it?
I got in touch with the folks at the Holocaust Center, and two people, Dee Simon and Richard Green, came to interview my father.
Okay, we're rolling.
And my father gave his testimony.
Good morning. My name is Arye Engelberg. I was born in Tarnobrzeg.
It was
near Krakow, in Poland.
Raw.
In 1934.
And visceral.
And
childlike. He was talking in his testimony about his mother, my grandmother, wanting him to drink a cup of milk the morning of their expulsion. It's unimaginable to me what my grandmother was going through. She had three little boys. My father was the youngest of three boys. And here he is sitting in a chair in the kitchen, his legs dangling, and she doesn't know when the next cup of milk is going to come from, if it's going to come. And he doesn't feel like having a cup of milk. He's five. I think as parents, we can all kind of relate to that.
And hearing this story put together for the first time with these new details, this flesh on the bones, what did that mean to you? And what did it make you want to do or want to know?
I was mesmerized by how much he had to say, how much he wanted to say. For over 3.5 hours, it went on and on. And even after they left, after the interview was over, he kept talking.
I remember crossing this area, of this border area. I was in my father's arms. It was at night, and the only thing I remember...
Arye Engelberg lives in Vancouver, B.C. now. He says he had never once told the story from start to finish.
The only time that I did openly speak about this subject was when I gave the testimony to the Holocaust Center in Seattle.
So between age like 14 or 15 and 80, this didn't really come up.
No, not really, no. Mostly because those were terrible times, horrible stories, and I did not want to feed them to my children. I believed they will be much happier without hearing the stories.
You think just hearing them is a kind of a burden?
Yes, it is.
Aryeh thought that for a reason. He remembers hearing his own parents' stories of pogroms and war and anti-Semitic violence. Did that stuff affect you as a kid?
Yes, very, very much so.
Do you remember how, in what way?
Kind of feeling very, very much of being pitiful and being sorry for my parents, particularly my mother. Remember until now, my mother holding me by my hand very strongly, and we were standing and watching the house burning down. And shortly thereafter, as I said,
Michal says she was transfixed by her father's story. If hearing it was a burden, then it was one Michal was eager to take on.
I became at that moment acutely aware of how important my dad's personal perspective is. And my dad is 83, and I really felt a sense of urgency to tell his story.
And what were those interactions like? Did you get together specifically to talk about these things?
A lot of it happened in my original family home that I grew up in Vancouver. My dad telling me stories, looking at maps, explanations of his documents. I'm able to ask him to fill in missing pieces and to clarify certain things. And that in itself is wonderful.
Yeah. Say more about that. What's that like for you as his daughter? I mean, how's it affected your relationship with him?
You know, it's interesting. My father is stoic in some ways. I don't know if that's a generational thing or maybe as a Holocaust survival. You don't want to express this love because it might be taken away from you. My father has never said, I love you. And it's always been curious to me. It's just been curious to me. It never bothered me, because he's never had to say it. I felt very deeply, always, that his love runs so deep and so wide. His love always came through actions.
Aryeh's childhood was stolen by the Nazis, and he says he never really had the chance to learn how to express his feelings.
My relationship with the family, I think it was affected by all these events where there were crowded accommodations and no way to talk openly to parents. And it developed a kind of personality that doesn't speak much and doesn't have any learning or education or tutoring how to do that. And it was not passed on to me by my parents. And I didn't know how to pass it on, and I probably did not. And I am always kind of hesitant whether I do it right or if I want to express my feelings of love and devotion and all that, whether I do it properly. I have a sense that I am very clumsy about it. I think my dear wife and my children can tell more.
When you say they can tell more, you mean you think that they know? They know what's in your heart, even if it's not in your words?
Yes, whether I express my feelings in the way that they accept it or they see it as a clumsy try. And we slowly, by me being forced to talk, that we slowly develop this relationship. I hope it's not too late.
So now Michal tells her father's story. She tells it to school groups, to visitors at the museum. She has a presentation with photographs and documents and snippets of her dad's testimony. She strains to get the details right, and she worries about whether, coming from her, it'll have the same impact. But she says sometimes she gets a clue that she's on the right track.
There was one engagement that I was asked to speak at, and one woman from Cambodia said to me, tearfully, "You are so lucky that you asked your father all of these questions, that he was able to share this with you. I wish I had that with my mother, and now she's gone." I felt, yes, this is why I'm doing this. Holocaust survivors are fading away. I'm afraid of him dying. Not only because he's my dad and I love him so much, also because he will take with him this history. And then when I want to know about a detail, or I want him to retell a story to me, who will be there to tell those stories? So it's up to me.